We're going to continue on this little series we're doing on manifesting God's power. We have been, most of you have been here, we have been going over the 9 manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit, what they are, what they do, how to receive, what's the benefit to our lives, and we've looked at the gift of the Holy Spirit and power associated and available from that. And we're just continuing to go in it. We went through the speaking manifestations, or often called utterance manifestations, which are speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And the interpretation of tongues and prophecy give a message, where it's God giving His people a message, which we just heard them. Where it's God Almighty, He's the one, you know, giving the message. And when you think about it, to be able to actually hear from God Almighty, and He's saying things that are actually nice to hear. He's not beating us up with a ball bat until we cave. He is endeavoring to edify us. That's one of the means that He's designed in His Word, where He can build up His people. And so it's wonderful operations, manifestations to operate. And then the next group of manifestations are the revelation manifestations, which we just started with last fellowship we had. And it's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And these manifestations deal with God giving us not messages, but information. Where God is actually able to give us information, specific information for specific situations. And often the revelation manifestations are it's considered the start where the written word ceases. The written word gives a lot of directives, a lot of things that we are to do. But like for instance, if you lost your wallet, it doesn't say in Ephesians where your wallet is. You can't find it in the book of Hebrews. It's not in there. It does say, seek and you shall find. You can go on that directive. But specifically, where you left your wallet, God can tell you by revelation. Hey, it's where you left it.
Does God now, didn't tell you that?
Now think. But He can give information. It's very specific information. So I'd like to look at the importance of information. How important is information? It's quite important. In the 1800s, there was a time period called the Industrial Revolution. And basically what it was is that industry was coming up with machines, developing machines that would do the work that people's hands were doing before. And they were coming up with ideas to have a machine do what people used to do. So, and it was a concentrated effort, and it was around a lot of the developed countries, and it was called the Industrial Revolution. Today, we are in a technological revolution. May not, you know, be aware of it, but technology is running at a warp speed. And a lot of it deals with information. People also say we are in an information age. A lot of technology is centering around the processing of information, the giving of it, pictures give information, and a lot of things like that. And so we are in a technological revolution right now. But when you go to the internet and you find out information, you Google something, is it always, or is it reliable information? Could be. But is it always reliable information? Is it always accurate? Is it always timely? The difference between the access of information that we can get through our phones or computers or other people is that with God Almighty, when He gives information, it's always reliable. It's always accurate. It's always timely. Always. And so that's an edge that God's got that He'll never lose. Nobody's going to catch up on that one. So we're going to look at 3 records. The first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 23 in your Old Testament. we're going to look at three records where God gave people information that helped them. And we're going to look at two records about David and one about Daniel. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Now we need to remember that this information is coming from God Almighty, and He is our Heavenly Father, right? And He's watching over us. He's all-knowing. He's all-loving. He's concerned about our lives. If He saw we were going to go off a cliff, not knowing we're going to go off a cliff, He's loving enough to say, hey, there's a cliff down there. Coming up. Watch out. Stop. He'll warn us. And that warning could be by revelation. Could be another source. Could be a believer that says, hey, don't go down that road. There's a cliff at the end. You're going to fall and kill yourself. You know, there's a lot of ways that God gets the information out. But one way could be by revelation, where He specifically tells you there's a cliff. And you say, oh, a Heathcliff? That's if you get it wrong. But when we think about it, it is our Heavenly Father that's watching over us. And that is really wonderful when we realize that we have a Heavenly Father that's looking after us, and He can specifically give us information that will help. Sometimes it actually saves our lives, and other times it's just such a blessing. Just nice to have it. Nice to have that information. So we're going to look at these three records and just read them and see the benefit that was involved with God being involved with this. So 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 says, then they told David, they are these people, this scenario was that David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel, but he wasn't recognized as king by the nation yet, because Saul was the king. Saul was rejected by God, but he remained king for a while, and Saul was endeavoring to kill David, literally kill him. He didn't want David to become the king, and he was after him. And during this time period, there was a city called Keilah that got invaded by the unbelieving nation of the Philistines, and that's what we're going to look at. It says, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors, and that's where they got their food. So it's like they're coming in and they're robbing all the grocery stores. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So God answers him and gives him his will. Go and smite him. Verse 3. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? We're in God's country and we're scared because we're being chased by Saul and his men. How much more if we go into another place where we're not in Judah? So verse 4, what's David do? He says, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. Sure you want me to go up there? And the Lord answered him, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Now isn't that nice information to have? You absolutely know you're going to win. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Quite wonderful. And it came to pass when Abithar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God had delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that had gates and bars. Now, these aren't bars where you drink alcohol. You know, we got the jail and we got the bars. He's going to be in one or the other. No, these are just, it was a fenced-in city, so to speak, a safe city, and not too many ways out. So here Saul thinks he's got him trapped. Verse 8, and Saul called all the people together to war and go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. How'd he know that? Because he kept trying to kill him. I think he's after me. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord, God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? That's a good question. You would think, naturally, you just saved that city. They wouldn't be eaten if it wasn't for David. Of course they'll fight for me. But he's not sure, so he's asking. Are these guys going to give me up? So verse 11, with the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? The Lord said, they will deliver thee up. This isn't good news, but it's nice news to have.
Yeah, right.
Then David and his men were about 600 rose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. So how about that? Was that information important? Sure was. It kept him in one piece. Kept him out of the bars. Kept him out of jail. So, great information to have. Accurate, timely, reliable. God was watching over his man. So, quite wonderful. Let's go to 2 Samuel. See another record of David. This is where David is now king. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Second Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. And this is where David, he had just become king, and he had taken over Jerusalem, which was a very strong, big stronghold for unbelievers, and he took that over right away. And now he's going to go see some of the Philistines. Verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. David heard of it and went down to the hold. And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? So there's this battle brewing. And he says, do I go up? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. That's nice news to know when you're going into battle. Anybody going to battle? I've never gone into battle, but Rich has. It's nice to know from God Almighty, when you're going in, you're going to win.
Beforehand.
Yeah. Nice news. Verse 20. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord. Am I reading the right spot?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. So he not only told them that they were going to win, but told them the strategy. That's pretty good information to have, especially when you're in battle. Can you imagine that? Okay, just wait till the tops of those mulberry trees start going like this. Then you go. Great information to have. Really wonderful. Let's go to Daniel. The book of Daniel to the right, a few more books. Our Daniel was named after this Daniel. A wise man who loved God, Daniel was. Now, the book of Daniel is set forth in a time period when the children of Israel had been taken away to an unbelieving nation. They were no longer ruling themselves. And the unbelieving nation took the wisest of the young people, took them and trained them to become helpers in their government. I don't know what that was, and I don't want to know. But Daniel was one of those people. He was considered very young, very wise, a lot of ability, and he sought God with all his heart and walked with God. And here's a scenario that if it wasn't for God giving him information, Daniel would have been killed. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams." Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of this unbelieving nation. "He dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled," or his soul was troubled, "and his sleep brake from him." Just means he woke up. He was restless. "Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king." Now these groups, the magicians, the sorcerers, astrologers, these are all people who give information, but not necessarily accurate. And we're going to see them kind of do a little tap dancing in front of the king. So the king calls them. They stand before the king, and here's what the king says. Verse 3, "And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit or my soul was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill." And they're saying, whoa, wait a minute. Just show us the dream. You know, we're not that good. You show us the dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. King's being a little hasty here. Verse 6, "But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servant the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." The king answered and said, "I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because you see that the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can tell me the interpretation thereof." The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean." They're tap dancing. "And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." That's quite a scenario. He wants them to tell him the dream and the interpretation. They're saying, there's no way we can find out what the dream was, but we'll make something up for the interpretation. We're willing to do that. And it's not the United States. It's not like you got to vote on this stuff. The king wants it done, boom. If he wants all these Chaldeans and astrologers, et cetera, killed, that's his wish. That's what happens, and they know that. So the command goes out. They're to be slain, verse 14. Then Daniel, verse 12, we'll read again. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded the king to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And a decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Remember, he was one of those wise guys. Verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in. Can you imagine being Daniel? You're told by the king's guard, captain, hey, we're coming to get you. We got to kill you. you just come on with us. We'll make sure you're dead in a little while. Whoa, what's going on here? You know, think about it as if this was you in this spot. So verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So he's biding time. He's not tap dancing, though. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion. So he lived with three other guys. They were all Israelites. They were all wise men. And he says, hey, here's our scenario. King dreamed a dream. He wants to know what the dream was, the interpretation, and if we can't tell him, he's killing us. What would you do? Go out to a movie that night? Well, this is what they did. Verse 18. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So they had that evening. Doesn't say what they did, but it does say they beseeched God. Maybe they prayed all night. Maybe they paced around. Maybe, I don't know. Doesn't say. But they had a concern. They knew that God Almighty, their God, could give them the information. It was available, and they were beseeching him. And look at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. He saw it full technicolor. Revelation by way of seeing and hearing. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Look what this next line. This is just incredible. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Thank you, God. Ever been there? You need some information and you get it. God gives it to you. It's like, oh, God, thank you very much. This is terrific. It's just wonderful. Then he blessed the God of heaven. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou has now made known unto us the king's matter. Boy, incredible, huh? So he goes to the king, and he starts to address him. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and makes known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these." And it goes into what the dream was, what the interpretation was. The king says, "That's it." And king rewards Daniel and his buddies. And all because it's available to hear from God, to receive information from God when it's necessary. And he knew how revelation worked. He knew how to receive. And boy, was he happy when he got it. So there was no slitting of the throat. No going down to the grave. He was still alive and became one of the top leaders in that nation for many, many, many years. So we can just definitely see the importance of receiving information from God Almighty. And the manifestations of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits give us that specific information at times. It's not that we walk around and we're constantly getting information from God. That's why he had his word written. And that's why he gave us a brain. But there are times where we just need information that there's no better source than God Almighty. And if we know how to receive, we can receive. And receiving is very, very, very simple. And we're going to get, you know, show that eventually. We're going to go through more records of seeing how God gave information to people. And so, just wonderful, wonderful stuff. But how gracious God is as our Heavenly Father to give us information. And we always know it's reliable. David put his life on the line when he went into battle and he knew that God said they were going to win. That's a nice feeling, knowing you're going into a battle, knowing you're going to win. So, it's terrific. So, that's good. Father God, thanks for your wonderful love and your goodness and for the privilege to be able to operate the manifestations of revelation that you've made available to us, and that we could grow in that knowledge and grow in the application thereof. And pray for the abundant sharing, for the prosperity of your believers everywhere, and for your people being taken care of in each and every situation. And pray for a great day, for your love and grace and mercy being manifested in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.